Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
On this one, a rainbow maker.
My love has come along.
What a shot for Rory McIlroy as the crowd's roar.
My lonely days are over.
Is it enough? Oh!
Shot.
And life is like a song.
This is by far the greatest golf tournament in the world. I'm from a place that I might get criticized for saying that. I go back to watching this tournament on the weekend with my father when I was 7 and 8 years old, watching Tiger Woods do what he did in 1997. That was my inspiration to try to become what I am today. And to think that I'm up here wearing one of those green jackets is, honestly, it's a dream come true. Like my dreams have been made today.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. Jeremy and Joe, we're watching the highlights of Rory here, the recap on TV.
Whew.
Shouting out the top tracer on 15, the greatest top tracer in the history of tracers.
Yeah.
As he hit that 7-iron around the
tree. Of all tracers ever?
Yes. Best traced technology thing ever.
As he walks down it, too.
Yep.
All-time great.
So I'll tell you what my day was like yesterday. I watched, of course, the whole thing. I watched Saturday as well.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, after it's over, I am like a... you've probably done this before. The Bills beat the Ravens in the playoffs, and you just stay up till midnight listening to postgame. Or the Sabres, back when they would have runs and have moments, you would just consume postgame. Mm-hmm. And that was me yesterday. I was just locked in on postgame. I listened to the No Laying Up podcast, which went live for, I'm on it for 2 hours. And then I'm just waiting for all my favorite golf writers to write their version of what happened. I read Joel Beal. I read Golf Digest. I'm checking The Athletic. I'm waiting for Kyle Porter, CBS, formerly CBS Sports. I'm just waiting for everybody to give me their version and write their words so I can clip them and bring them in today to tell you who wrote it the best. And I was just, it was like a Bills win for me where I'm just give me all of it. I'm going to hear from every single player. They did it. They beat the Chiefs. I mean, really, that's what this is.
Yeah, really.
This is, they did it. They beat the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Yeah.
When it mattered. And yeah.
Right, playoffs.
Yeah, right.
Not regular season. Not the Houston Open or something.
Right.
This was playoffs.
The most it could matter. It was an epic. It was an epic day. Absolutely epic day.
Is it recency bias to say it was the greatest Masters ever?
I don't think so.
Or at least greatest Masters, you think 2019 was better?
It's in the conversation.
I saw a lot of people pointing that out.
It's in the conversation.
I think because of the emotional swings, it was, from a viewer standpoint, that was the greatest Masters ever. Because even like, everyone was like, best Masters since at least 2019. When Tiger won, remember, there was only one swing. It was Molinari's leading the whole day, and then he puts it in the water, and Tiger hits a great shot on, I think it was 12. He puts it to like 2 feet, and then it was Tiger the rest of the way.
Yeah.
You really only had one big swing, one big emotional swing that day. Yesterday was 12 of them?
Yeah.
How many?
Yeah.
It was, how many times did they say roller coaster on the broadcast yesterday? Maybe it got overused a little bit. But it was up and down, up and down. I watching golf odds shot to shot is incredible. Rory goes from minus 2,000 to win to he hits it in the water on
13.
On 13, and he's minus 200. Just like that. And then on 15, that shot tracer we're talking about, he's minus 150. The ball lands and he's minus 700.
Yeah.
It's just fluctuating up and down. It was insane. He's minus 600 going into the last putt on 18, and then he misses that. And now he's minus 110. It just, that watching the betting odds yesterday showed off how insane it was.
It was also fun for me to kind of explain what it means for Rory to win to... My wife, like, I mean, she knows I watch golf. She watches golf. Or friends coming over, like, all right, so he's an underdog? Like, no.
No, he's not.
He's definitely not an underdog. He's one of the best. And he has never done this. He's done everything else there is to do. He hasn't done this. And there's, to me, the whole time, I don't know, Bills fans, if you out there wake up today and think, if Rory can win the Masters, the Bills can win the Super Bowl. But I don't think those comparisons are far off. They're great. How come they haven't done it? He's great. How could this not have happened by now? He had a chance a long time ago, and it looked like he had it in the bag, and he didn't. The comparisons, the parallels, I was watching, again, like I said, I'm going to give you 1,000 different things I saw because I just consumed post-game content. Bill Simmons of The Ringer, he uttered a phrase, and I thought, that's exactly right. He said, this is LeBron in Cleveland. That's what it is. He won somewhere else, but that's the one that's going to count. Mm. LeBron winning in Cleveland, can you do that? Can you win that one? Sure, everyone thinks you're great. Everyone already knows you're great. But there's this unchecked box that you've got to check, and if you don't do it, you'll still be great. But this is what will make you, all time. Different great.
And he flirted with...
He flirted with everything.
His emotion, I think, and him talking about it after, like, I would recommend that post game to everybody about what his mental journey was through that round yesterday, because when he wins it, that a lot of that emotion is he didn't win by 4 strokes, he wasn't comfortable with it, and the final holes that it got close, and the build up to it was similar to last year at the U.S. Open. Like, oh man, dude, if you don't close this out, all of the negative BS that you received in the U.S. Open last year or any point during the last 11 years is going to be that times 10 after this one, because you had it again, and if you blow it, then here comes the you know what. But him, no, comes him, all, it him been, going to the line and winning it anyway, man, like that. That's how, why I think it, part of why, not the whole reason why. Part of why the overflow of emotion hitting him on 18 like that was just awesome to see, and why it did hit him like that.
803-0550. If you want to throw it our way, you know you can give us a call. There's plenty to get to. We'll talk with Brian Koziel at 7 o'clock. So Brian at 7, Paul Hamilton at 8. The Sabres played a game yesterday. I mean, it was happening during the final round of the Masters.
Right,
so
in the middle of it, yeah.
I had a very much of a, not now, Sabres. We're busy. We've got some stuff going on. You're playing Tampa. You're down by 6. Great. All right, have a great, get home safe. I got some stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's incredible. I was listening to people recount their experience there at Augusta. One thing I don't know that they had ever shown on the broadcast before. They maybe had, but I just hadn't been as keyed in. Had they previously made it a routine to show the score being posted and the fans reacting?
I don't remember them doing that, because I noticed it every time they did it yesterday, and it was awesome.
It was part of the story. Yeah. It was part of understanding that people out there at the tournament are in the dark. They don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was listening to one guy on the No Laying Up podcast. He was out in the field, and he said at one point there was, wherever they were, Rose is on maybe 17, and Rory's on 17, and you could, wherever they were, Rory's on 16. There are two greens, you could see both of them. And a guy put his son on his shoulders, and the kid was telling everybody with an earshot what was happening, like a town crier. Okay, Rose got 12 feet. And like, because you don't know what's going on, you kind of can't see. And I guess the organic nature of that, the way that word spreads, it's one of the things that, you know, when we joked about it last week about sporting events without your phone, he said that you end up having to talk to and forming relationships with the people right next to you. And you're just, you're friends. You're friends for an hour and a half, or you're friends for 10 minutes, and, you know, Rory makes a putt, and you hug a stranger, then you all just run to another hole.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. The whole thing was amazing. LeBron in Cleveland, Elway,
yeah,
when he gets his.
Sure.
It really is. It's so representative of, I'll tell you the thing that how it means the most to me is if he had lost and lost, which he almost lost like 5 times, like, if he had really lost, we would have driven in today and whoever's on before us would have been in some big long soliloquy about how some guys just don't have it and some guys are just chokers and some guys can't get it done in the big moment. And of course that would not have been exactly accurate about McIlroy. But people could have said that, and people that love when someone falters or love when someone fails would have had their Super Bowl. Joe, it would have been unbelievable.
Yeah,
avalanche. When would Rory have shown up again? Would he have disappeared into hiding for a month until the U.S. Open?
Mm-hmm.
Would he have turned his back on the media and gone away because it would have been too painful? Like this, the stakes for a person that I've never met playing golf at a course I'll never see.
Yeah.
Like, it was as high as it could get.
Yeah. Well, what I loved about yesterday was, like, he kind of proved again he has that in him.
Mm-hmm.
But he talked about this after. I appreciated watching somebody overcome that.
On the Leafs, before we get to, you know, some draft stuff. All right, let's go there. It's not quite let's get stupid, but I see it talked about a lot. You ready? You want to go there?
Yeah.
We have not had this conversation yet. Mitch Marner?
You're right, we have not had this
conversation.
Is that because let's get stupid?
Is it stupid? Sabres Twitter has the Mitch Marner conversation all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And can the Sabres make that happen? It begins with the Sabres convincing an incredible player to commit your time here.
Right.
And that is not an easy sell, I don't think. I don't think things are as dark as they had been in certain years. But Marner is an unrestricted free agent.
Yep.
Just call him up at the end of the season. Ring, ring. Have Josh Allen call him. Marner has been seen at Bills games, in Bills jerseys, fan of Josh Allen. I know that seems absurd. But it's really the only thing we can lean into, so we might as well talk about leaning into it.
I was going to say, isn't that kind of what makes it Let's Get Stupid, that the first thing anybody ever gets to how to get him here is, oh, he's a Bills fan.
Well,
and use Josh Allen to get him here, because what else are you going to use to get him
when
here?
When the Knicks were courting LeBron James, they had Tony Soprano in a video for him.
Oh, okay, and, so they didn't get him.
I know they didn't get him. It's also New York, and it's the Knicks and all that. But Marner is an unrestricted free agent. The Sabres will definitely have the room to do it if they want to. Mm-hmm. And if they wanted to, you know, you wonder if Kevin Adams looks to Jason Karmanos on a random Tuesday like today. And they're talking about the year, the Leafs tonight, season's ending. Does Kevin Adams look to Jason Karmanos and say, let's get stupid? Marner? Like, he might say, well, think we can do that?
Yeah.
Can we get that done? You'd have to call the owner, because that's what, $14 million a year?
Well,
Sabres might be positioned. That's one point to make here. Are they positioned to pay him more than anybody?
Well,
they probably have the room.
Technically speaking, I think they are. I think, or they're at least close to it for next year. I can't imagine there's many teams that have more cap space than they will. And that's before knowing what the cap will be, but we think it's going to be in the 90s, $95 million.
And the Sabres are projected to have about $24 million in space.
Okay.
I bet there aren't that many teams that have that much space.
You know what might surprise you? They have, what was it, the number, 22 million in space?
Yeah, 24.
According to Puckpedia, it's kind of middle of the pack. It's kind of middle of the league.
Well, the difference might
be... The difference is they don't have any UFAs.
Right. And they,
right?
And they,
but Toronto has more space than that, but Toronto's got a bunch of players to sign that the Sabres don't.
The Sabres
and
have...
Marner and Tavares. Right. And
the Sabres have Peterka, McLeod, Quinn, Byram.
Yeah.
And the question would be, like, all right, what's a better idea? 7 for Peterka or 14 for Marner? What's a better idea? 14 for Marner or 9 for Byram? I don't know what Byram's number is going to be right now. Who knows?
Right.
He's a tough one. But
yeah, I'm surprised by this, that they are more middle of the pack. But again, like, they have their whole team under contract already. Right? Like, there's room for one or two guys to come in here and be added to the mix. And that's pretty much it. So, but they still have the room. That being said, right? Like, because they could sign nobody, just sign your guys back,
and have $20 million or whatever, $18 million in room.
Yeah. So, you know, do you want to give Marner the max? I would love to. Do you know what the max is?
Is it 15 next year?
It's 20% of the cap. So that
95.
Is
that's like $18 million.
$19 million.
$19 million.
$19 million.
There's no chance on earth.
That anybody would offer $19 million?
There's no chance on earth any NHL team gives him $19 million.
Is the team going to give him $15 million?
Isn't hockey the kind of sport that won't even justify McDavid or Matthews getting $19 million?
No.
Matthews might be the one to push it. Like, Matthews, so far in his negotiations, you know, he took a 5-year deal in Toronto, which was kind of a short one.
Yeah.
So he could get paid again. The cap goes up, and when his time comes...
You're right. It is very different where that, like, I don't think this was true of McDavid. Has an NHL player ever signed for the max contract? Like, it's on the books. There's a rule about it. You can't go over 20% of the cap. Has anybody ever done it? Whereas, like, in comparison to the NBA...
Oh, it's max contract every week.
Right. They're all max contracts.
Yeah.
And in the NHL, they just don't want to go near it.
I don't know why. Why do the players, I mean, the culture of it, I guess. The players at the top
right.
are going to leave room for other guys to get paid?
Because if Marner decided, I'm going to be the ultimate businessman here, and I'm going to ignore hockey culture and say, I'm not signing for anything less than the max. We're going to start doing things differently, and I'm going to be the first. I want the max. I want $19 million. Is anybody going to give it to him eventually? He might burn a lot of bridges along the way. He might find an organization that's willing to pay and is desperate enough to do it. It's a lot of room to have on your cap too. I mean, it's 20%, and it's not a hard cap. And maybe that's a good difference. Now that I'm playing this out of my head, the NBA does not have a hard cap.
Right.
They have a luxury tax. So the creating the room to plug that guy in at the max contract, that's not a thing. Whereas in the NBA. If you are, you know, you're only $20 million below the cap and this guy wants $40 million, you could do it. You can give him $40 million, you just have to pay extra for going over the cap. So that's probably why. I mean, you got to give him multiple millions more than anybody else, though, right? That's how you really get him here. It's not Josh Allen. It's not the Bills. I mean, maybe that's a sweetener, and that could help you get in the room if he comes with you.
Have Josh Allen give him $19 million. He's got enough.
Right, like maybe. Money. Money's how you get him here. Money's the only reason you would get in the room. You might just end up getting played, this happened with Babcock, right? They'll use you, the player will use you to get more money out of the places he actually wants to be. But hey, once in a while in sports, the guy just takes the bag.
Yep.
But the Sabres aren't getting him on their own reputation. They're not getting him on... with Marner, okay, the one other door I could, I guess, creak open is the idea that he's from Mississauga. He's from local. I'm going to play we're close to Toronto card, right? But also that he has been, more than anyone else there, the lightning rod for why they can't win in the playoffs.
Blamed, yeah. Blamed.
He's been blamed for not playing well when they get to the postseason. He's going to have 100 points this year. And if he has 5 points in 7 games and they get bounced in round one,
yep,
he's going to be the culprit.
And it won't be that they have to trade him this time or, oh, you got to do something about this. They would just, all right, we'll let him walk. Because
right.
Our fans, I mean, I'm not sure if they feel this way, but if they have a early exit, are they going to want to give him $15 million after another playoff disappointment?
Right.
The Leafs have...
And from his standpoint, does he want to continue to be... Like, how does it hit him mentally that he is the guy that is always... But last year, there was a video of Matthews and Nylander yelling at him on the bench. I'm sure that doesn't bleed over to now, but it happened then. Does he... My sales pitch to him would be, this is as close to home as you're going to get. You don't have to be in the circus and be the lightning rod anymore, and we're going to pay you more money than anybody else. Those are the three things you got to give him. And he's got to be motivated by all three. He's got to be motivated to be sick of being the lightning rod. He's got to be motivated to want to be close to home, and he's got to be motivated by money. And he's got to be the biggest Bills fan you've ever seen in your life. All of that.
Yep.
The closest max contract is when Alex Ovechkin signed his deal with the Caps in 2008. That was 16% of the cap at the time.
How about that? The biggest contract by cap percentage was 17 years ago.
Nobody's touched it.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think it's realistic.
No, I don't either. But it's possible.
What if they did it? What if they pulled it off? How much does that change your opinion of them?
Well,
not even just them, but like next season, all of it. It would just be such a shock, like a culture shock to me of what they are if they were able to pull off something like that.
Isn't he, first off, he's not playing center for you. He's playing the wing, right?
He's played the wing his whole career. He was a center. We're doing the thing where he was a center early on. Mm-hmm. No, he's a winger.
But what I'm going for is,
he's a winger.
Right now, what do the Sabres have? They have, at center, are they feeling good about what they've got?
Probably.
They feel good? Josh Norris.
Norris, Kulik, McLeod, Krebs, and Tage can play center too.
Tage can, but I don't think... Maybe it's a question for Lindy Ruff. What are you doing with Tage next year? He's played center before. Now you've got him on the wing. He's close to 50 goals again. And, you know, there are some guys that play the wing that can kind of run the game from the wing. Like Patrick Kane's a player that's done that for his career when he's over there. He can run. I feel like Panarin's another one. When he's on the wing, he can run the game.
I think Mark Stone is another player like that.
Okay.
He definitely does that.
And Marner is one of those players that even though he's on the wing, it's like
there's
a lot there. So I don't know what the Sabres feel about their center depth. It used to be Tage is the number one center. You feel great about it. But if he's moved off that spot, again, you don't have to necessarily fall directly into these categories. But I how stupid is it to bring up the idea of chasing Marner? Will we get a report? He goes to the offseason. The Sabres have asked for a meeting. It's one of those spots where I tend to get cynical and say, well, the Sabres might want us to think they're after him, even if they think they can't get him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you pick up the brochure of the house you can't afford just to take a look at it. Maybe. Sabres and Leafs tonight.
Or do they not want to do that because they don't want to be embarrassed by, he wouldn't even take a meeting with us.
But you don't even get that. You don't have to go that far. You could just say the Sabres have made a call, decided they're out. They're going to do their due diligence. Think about how much credit Brandon Bean gets for making calls. You know, he's checking in on Devontae Adams. Like, oh, well, that's Bean. He's going to call everybody. Like, okay, does Kevin Adams take a note from that and make sure that everybody knows he's calling on everybody, including Marner? It's possible. Anyway, off we go. Two games left in the season. Leafs tonight, Flyers on Thursday for Fan Appreciation Night. Jeremy and Joe, good Tuesday morning. Lindy Ruff at 8 o'clock. Also at 9 o'clock, Peter Marlett Jr. of Buffalo Pro Soccer. We're going to hear all about the new stadium that's going up. Very exciting. Mm-hmm. You've seen the renderings. We'll talk to Peter. He's going to be in studio to kind of answer our questions about why they chose the spot they chose, what it means, the timeline. The timeline for this thing is going to be, you keep your head on a swivel.
Like, super fast.
Yeah,
right?
The stadium. These kind of stadiums go up fast. We had a chance to talk to them last night to kind of, you know, get to know some of their ideas and what they're going to do. So we'll bring that to you coming up at 9 o'clock. Jeremy and Joe on, you know, the Sabres and 9 days to the draft. Lots to get to this morning. You can pop a phone call at any point, 803-0550 here on WGR.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
You've gone to the movie theater to get takeout?
This is another thing that people
Hold on.
People do this.
What? Yes. Why? Because of the butter?
Because it's movie theater popcorn.
But you could get movie theater popcorn in the grocery
store. That's grocery store popcorn.
Popcorn is not different enough that it's worth going in and getting movie theater popcorn.
It certainly is. You're not living until you're going into the movie theater, getting popcorn, and going home. Why do you think they sell it before you have to go into the theater? Why do they sell it where the general public can just walk in and buy treats? Why is it there
That's a coincidence. They didn't put that out there.
Is that true? If that's a coincidence, where do I buy food at a Sabres game?
After the
ticketed portion. Where do I buy food at the airport? After the ticketed portion.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
We just made a revelation in here right now. So today is Chopin Bulldog's annual pre-draft special. And by the way, good morning. It's Jody Biasi. Derek Kramer's in for Jeremy today. Hey. Jeremy, I believe, off celebrating his big Arsenal win yesterday.
Hey, no, why not?
That's why he's off. That's not why he's off today. I'm sure he is. He's very happy and celebrating that. By the way, we spent some time on that yesterday, on aggregate scoring and whatnot. Arsenal got through. So we made a revelation. In the update, did you say 6 o'clock pregame?
Yeah, no, that's already a lie. 3 minutes.
Yeah, because I said that yesterday too, and obviously, like that would be normal. That would be customary.
Yeah,
you know, 7 o'clock puck drop. We have an hour pregame show.
Right.
But today is Chopin Bulldog's pre-draft special, and we're all involved. So like, Sal will be on with the guys at 4:00, Jeremy at 4:30, Nate will be in at 5:00, and Zach's giving me the times of like, okay, when you want to hop on with the guys. I'm like, what about 6? He's like, perfect, 6. Yeah, so I'm coming in at 6, and I don't imagine I'm coming in to do Sabres pregame.
You are locked on Sabres.
Yeah, but I don't think I'm coming in for Sabres pregame. we'll do some Sabres today. I think a half hour is enough for that.
So it's good to know that 2 minutes into the morning, I already screwed up.
No, I mean, not on you. Not on you, I would say, at all. We're 1 week out from the NFL draft, and we will spend almost the entirety of today, of course, on the draft.
I am so ready.
I'm going to make you wait, though, just a minute.
I'm draft-pilled.
Make you just wait a minute, because we're going to have some draft guests a little bit later on. Eric Edholm will join the show later on. Sal's back. Sal's going to join us at 7. My brother, Lou DiBiase, in the middle. Sam, don't know why I went in that order. Lou, Locked On Eagles. I want to get him on for a couple minutes on James Bradberry, who did a visit with the Bills, and he is not a fan of what that guy's got left in the tank. Mm-hmm. So we'll get a little bit on Bradberry, and he's plugged in on the draft too. But want to start on the Sabres for just a minute?
I suppose. I mean, if we're not going to really get to them for most of the day today, it makes sense.
We might. Let's see where the conversation
takes us. See where the
takes
day takes us.
It is the finale tonight, and I've got two thoughts on them. Neither of which, by the way, the YouTube chat, I think I already brought up me pointing out that the slug makes me only feel good feelings now on Twitter yesterday, which is true. I had that revelation the other day at the Leaf game, was looking up in the banners, and of course, the last banner up there is a slug logo. In fact, the last three banners, I believe, up there are from the slug logo.
Yeah, because didn't they... They won the last division title with the slug logo,
yes,
as well.
2010 Northeast Division,
yep.
2007 President's Trophy, and 2007 Northeast Division. Those are the last three banners that have been raised.
That's tough.
Yeah. And I'm looking up at them, and I'm just thinking, you know, that logo only makes me feel good feelings now. It's not a logo I like. I never really loved it. I don't know that many people did. But, of course, you know, things grow on you over time. Nostalgia kicks in. And when I look at it now, I don't think of the logo. I think of, I made some good teams. Seeing highlights of the Sabres-Bruins series from 15 years ago, which is a series that you can easily forget a million things that happened, right? It's a first-round series. They lost in 6 games. But like, oh, there's Rafi Torres putting Zdeno Chara in a headlock. And the crowd's going berserk in game one. Like, cool. That seemed like fun. They lost that series, but that seemed like fun. And
there's Nathan Gerby being the biggest pest in the world.
Yep, they're wearing the slug.
They're wearing the slug.
For those years. And that's not even to speak of 07, which of course is, I mean, they're first place in the NHL. They win the division. So, anyways, that was not the thing I was going to mention. Although, I had two big thoughts about it being Philly tonight and being the last game of the season, where they're going to miss again. One is it's the Flyers and it's Fan Appreciation Night. And does that trigger a memory for everybody immediately? Flyers Fan Appreciation Night. 2011 Fan Appreciation Night is one of the best nights in that building in my lifetime. Not non-playoffs specifically, it probably is the best night in that building where everybody is on cloud nine. Right, Terry Pegula had just showed up as the owner, and the sales pitch was all these big hopes and dreams and money being influxed into the organization. And oh, look, everyone's back. All the alumni are back, right? They were all invited back, and they had the big carpet out in front, and you know, I mean, it felt like every player that had ever played for them was there. That obviously wasn't everybody, but LaFontaine is there, and the French Connection is there. Maybe not Rick Martin. I think he might have passed away just shortly before that. Danny Gare is there, of course, and, you know, you've got guys from the 90s teams that are there. Just everybody was there. Pekka. And it felt great, and then they clinched the playoffs that night. With you mentioned Gerby. I think he scores a spinorama goal.
Yeah, it was like this weird spinorama goal that like totally fools the goaltender and just like, yeah. Hey, sick. All right, they're going to make it.
Backhand spinorama goal.
Yeah.
And then, right, they wind out the clock, they make it, and then icing on the cake is Thomas Vanek, I think, scores like a breakaway goal in overtime to win.
Yeah, he releases himself a miniature breakaway just past the blue line, and like it's perfect.
Yep. So they're going to the playoffs. And all the alumni are there, and the new owner, and everything. Imagine going back in time and telling yourself on that night that this is as good as your, this is it. Have fun. This is it. You're not going to feel feelings like this.
6:09, and you're trying to depress everybody.
It's going
to
be, just thinking about, like, it's unbelievable. I guess, right, it's hard for that to not be taken as... Oh, like I should be so depressed.
Well, that's it's
about
tough.
The team.
Like I say it in jest, but like at the same time, yeah, it's not you doing that. It is the team doing that. You're just pointing it out.
Right. And I'm not even my motivation for that is not even to point out like, oh, you should be depressed about this. It is for me.
That's the first thing I think.
Amazement that it has happened.
Yeah. That's the first thing I thought.
It is so I've said this before, but I really do think that this playoff drought is the second most incredible thing that's ever, most rare thing that's ever happened in Buffalo sports, other than the Bills going to 4 Super Bowls in a row. Like, that's you know why. That's never going to be repeated. This is, no hockey team ever has gone this long without making it. Even close. They are 40% beyond the NHL record at this point. They passed the record 4 years ago. Like, it's, the sport is not designed for a team to miss this many times in a row. So, I'm pointing it out, I know, knowing that it's going to make people like, oh. But it's more just, can you believe that this is even possible?
Not even
going this long?
Not only that, but like, even lucky, they don't get that either. Right. The years where they could be seen as this potentially lucky team, they win 10 straight.
Mm-hmm.
But then proceed to collapse in the second half of the season to miss the playoffs entirely. And then the team that was in last place starting in December goes ahead and wins the Stanley Cup, takes your first round pick, and makes it the last one of that draft year.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the extra salt in the wound. You have a team that is high-flying, fun, scores 91 points. I would have killed for 91 points this year. Nope, not the year for it.
Mm-hmm.
Florida gets one more than you.
Yep.
2 years ago. Even when they are in the realm of possibility for getting lucky, it doesn't work either. So it is not just that you are bad. You are also now unlucky. This year, the conference is bad. Montreal did everything that they could in their power to give it up.
And it feels like Montreal they're having one of these seasons where the roster, like, they've got some nice pieces, right? They clinched last night, and Cole Caulfield is great, and Lane Hutson has showed up and been like, oh, this guy's immediately going to be one of the best defensemen in the world. So they've got a couple guys. But look at that roster and tell me that that's a team that's like far more talented than the Sabres are. They might have some advantages. They have a goaltender, right?
Right.
Like, kind of came out of nowhere, Montembeau. But,
right.
And he's not been perfect either, but they've got a stabilized goaltending situation. And they've got guys that have produced at the top.
Ready? My turn.
Sometimes you get lucky.
My turn to say something depressing. You ready? In the 5 years that Kevin Adams has been the general manager, the Montreal Canadiens now have 2 playoff appearances more than you, including a Stanley Cup Finals run.
Right. They made the finals.
They made the final.
Yeah, they made it out of the Canada division.
Yes.
They made it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's number 2 for them yesterday. So, to flip that around, though, too, we have to sit in this pool of our own misery, our own tears.
Right.
I had written down to get to a more of an optimistic part of this, or maybe it won't turn into that. on the Sabres, because we'll get to the draft. 803-0550 is the phone number. Tonight, the final game of the season, and the Sabres are going to miss the playoffs. There is some draft stuff that could change tonight, but even that, like, it's 1% of lottery odds and one draft selection on the line tonight. And This is also isn't a draft where it's even worth paying attention to.
Also,
so who cares?
Anyone trying to say anything about it, like, at this point, spare me. I do not care.
Like, if it happens, you get it, fine. But
I'm
going
to roll my eyes hard on people saying that they need to lose tonight.
No, not tonight. So
I would also just not like to have a 5-game losing streak to end the season.
That have a – and you – been saying it for 2 months. The bar for this team at the end is just have people not being angry when they leave the arena at the end.
Yes.
And they've actually done that. Like, that loss to Toronto the other night was their first home loss in over a month.
And also, so, it was a decent game. For 50 minutes, that was back-and-forth affair.
So, yeah, let's see if they win tonight. Flyers tonight. The thing I was thinking, though, as the season wraps up, is everyone seems to be coming back. Right, it feels like Adams is coming back. He said Lindy's coming back, which is to mean, I think if Adams is back, then Lindy's back, obviously. And the roster is going to have some changes, but not this overall roster surgery. Like, guys are locked up. They and I'm not saying these were the wrong decisions, but what comes with signing Zucker back and signing Greenway back and even signing Bryson back, they decided to do that. Is that everyone's here. Your goalie's under contract, almost your whole blue line. Clifton has still got a year left on his deal, right? And you've got 12 forwards under contract. Like, there'll be a change or two, but in large part, this seems to be the group. So what if I just played the game of what if I went back in time 14 years to Fan Appreciation Night against the Flyers and told you that they're not going to make it again. They're not going to make it again for 14 years. Let me play it the other way. What if I go 1 year into the future and tell you that they're... Well, actually, let me do it the other way. What if you, 1 year from now, comes back in time today and says they're going to make it? They made
Ooh.
It. They made it. How'd they make it? What happened for them to make it? Because they appear to think the solution is in the building. And I think I'm skeptical of that. I think they need a couple of smart, savvy changes this offseason to the roster to fuel a 95 to 100 point team that can make it. I think they need way better goaltending from Luukkonen, mm-hmm. who I think 99% is back next year, or they need Devin Levi to show up and steal the job from him and be capable of that. So goaltending. And there's also the possibility of a couple of your young guys just showing up and taking massive steps forward. And Power comes to mind for me for that. Kind of stinks that he has this injury now, though, that interrupts his offseason.
It's good, though, that it won't trickle into next season, so it could be
worse. That's good. But
it could be worse.
That's right. I want to mention some of the numbers from this year. Expected Buffalo, Chad DeDominis has pointed this out. From last year to this year, with a lot of the same group, this kind of points to they're not really that different from last year. So something's got to give if a year from now they've found a way to make it. Possession, shot attempts. Last year they were 18th, this year they were 17th. Shot quality, last year they were 25th, this year they were 28th. Goal differential, last year they were 13th, this year they were 16th. This is all 5-on-5, by the way, which actually is giving them a little bit of a break because we know their power play stinks. Actually, I could even go to that. Last year, power play, they were 29th in the league. This year, they're 24th in the league. They've gone up by 2%. How about that? Everything is pretty close. Penalty kill, they've gone down from 13th to 23rd.
And that's goaltending. Your best penalty killer has to be your goaltender.
Is that the answer? If yourself from a year from now comes back in time and tells you they've made it, now you've got to guess how that's happened. Do you think it's just they got a great season of goaltending, or does there have to be more layers to it?
There's more layers to it, and I have your layer. And it has to be this. Kevin Adams has to remember the sins of the past and act. There is a big move that has to be made in the offseason in order for that to change. That is what has to happen. You need a top four defenseman before the Power injury.
Yeah.
You need
definitely.
To do that.
His partner specifically.
Whoever his partner is. And Jacob Bernard Docker has been solid for them
on Power's line. He showed to be a reliable line mate for him. Now, imagine that being it's JBD in case of injury.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can have Byram try to pair with someone else, like if it's just that he's a Darlene Merchant, for example, who wouldn't be.
Sure.
But it's how Samuelson got his contract.
Honestly. But that's oh, we'll get to that though in a moment. It is. I got a thought on Byram.
So ready? Welcome to the dream, Joe. This is the first time I've been on the morning show since I've had this dream. Welcome to the dream. Mm-hmm. The man scored point number 100 the other night in Buffalo, as a matter of fact. And that is Mitchie Biscuits. Mitch Marner is going to be the ideal here. This is the ideal. It's not like, I'm not saying it has to be Mitch Marner. He is the face to the ideal to me. It A, shows the fans, ownership's actually serious. That's sick. B, it allows you to trade a player from your top six to upgrade your top four defensemen.
Yep.
And that is how it gets done. A two-pronged strategy on how to make the Sabres better. Yeah.
And it is a dream.
And it is a dream.
And it is really more than that. It's probably it's also a pipe dream.
It's also a message. Kevin Adams, you cannot for the third straight offseason sit on your hands. You cannot.
Yep.
You need one of his biggest flaws. Is he does not know when to strike, when the iron's hot, and when the team needs it. 2 years ago, they come off of this nice season. They look like one of the more promising teams in the league. Their answer is they sign Eric Johnson and Connor Clifton, and that's it. That was the moves they made. When he makes trades, they're not bad.
No, he's made two. We don't have results on the Josh Norris trade yet. Obviously, it's early in it, and he's only played three games. But I liked that move when they made it. And even though I've got a thought on Byram here that I think that relationship is coming to an end, I think they won that trade. I
mean, Middlestat's Colorado, already not in Colorado.
Exactly.
Already.
And he had such a down year for them. And Byram carries value, even if he's not going to be a part of the solution long term. So, I've liked a couple of the big deals that he's made. It's kind of, though, like Darcy in a way, where remember when Darcy would make trades that we'd fall in love with. The Briere trade, of course, and the Gostad for a first round pick trade always comes up.
Yes.
But they were so far and few and far between. That 6:20. Do I get away with that at 6:20 in the morning? 9:20 I wouldn't. just it's not happening often enough. I think though Adams is now in a place where his motivation is to make moves like that. It's just, can you get them done? And most recent example is he could. Either was a hockey trade to be found out there, and he found it, and he got it done, and he pulled the trigger on it. Didn't get hung up on, oh, Ottawa wants an extra second-round pick. Oh, I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. He's just like, you know what? Second-round pick, whatever.
And that is why the pipe dream, the vision, as you will, that is why I say it like that. Because you exchange a top six forward for a defenseman, that's a hockey trade. 1,000%. I need a win-win
but
situation.
But you're saying that after they've signed Mitch Marner, right?
Because then you're also able to play You're also then also able to play off of, I've got a strength. You need this. I've got this.
Right. I also want to
piss off Toronto fans. Let's be abundantly clear about that.
I want to talk about Marner this offseason, and I hope the Sabres try for him. I'm not at all expecting
and that is
them
why
to get him and even be one of the finalists for him.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well,
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm, I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I got some numbers on. What if it was a receiver that fell, by the way?
Like Matthew Golden?
Matthew Golden.
Or
I don't think McMillan is at all possible.
I don't think so either. And anybody else?
Anybody else though, right?
Anybody else, I don't know that it's viewed as falling. Those two guys are going to go. And after that, a lot of guys should be available at 30. Would Luther Burden be available? Would Egbuka?
Yeah.
I think a lot of those guys could be available at 30.
But how crazy would it be that there would only be one receiver off the board by the time the Bills pick?
It'd be kind of nuts.
Yeah. But it's not impossible.
Nope.
The Bills looked up some of their vacated numbers from last year to this year. Like, how much, because I heard Nate talking about this late last week, how much opportunity will there be for anybody that comes in? That could be a fourth round receiver. It could be a second round receiver. It could be some free agent they grab after the draft. How much is left over? And that could be guys that are internal, too. Coleman, to take more on. The Bills losing Hollins and losing Cooper and, you know, Marcus Valdes-Scantling will be a small portion of this, but not much of it.
Yeah.
Although he played more snaps in the first couple games than you might think. The total vacated numbers at wide receiver. They have vacated 91 targets. That's not bad, right? Like, remember, Josh Palmer in.
Yep.
So 91 targets for Josh Palmer. That might be a little more than you would project for him.
Yep.
But it's not like a ton more. The other numbers, though, to me that kind of stand out for where there's an opportunity. Last year, 566 targets vacated by the Bills. 566 routes, excuse me. 1,100 snaps. 1,101 snaps. That, to me, is the big number. Josh Palmer last year in L.A. played 567 snaps.
Okay.
No Bills receiver other than Hollins played more than 600. Both Coleman and Shakir, who played a lot, were under 600. They have 1,100 up for grabs.
What was Coleman's rate if he had not been hurt?
He probably would have been around like 700.
Okay.
Around
he might have led them right by Hollins, yeah.
Yeah.
Because if that shortfall in snaps at receiver,
mm-hmm.
the easy guess is that's Palmer and a healthy Coleman.
Mm-hmm. But that still leaves room for the guy that we've been talking about wanting is a rotational receiver that has a certain skill set. If Coleman were to stay healthy the whole year, you bump him up by 200, and Palmer comes in and he plays 600. I still got 300 snaps left over for a receiver to play. And where are those going? Are those going to Tyrell Shavers? Or are those going to some guy they pick in the fourth round?
Yeah.
Or at the end of the second round? Like, to me, there is still plenty of opportunity for one more receiver to come in and play, at least if you're comparing it to the numbers that guys played last year. And a lot of those snaps, actually really all of them, right, because Valdes-Scantling played on the outside, Cooper played on the outside, and Hollins played on the outside, all of those snaps are outside receiver. Like, all of them are from the outside. At least the perimeter receiver, sometimes he moves in the middle. So if like a receiver is that guy that falls to 30, I think that would still surprise me if they made that investment at that position. But I'm still thinking about second round a lot.
Yeah, I think second round is the spot. Second round, or I guess, you know, the fourth, if you ultimately get there.
Because first round, they're not really visiting with these guys, right? Like, have you seen anything about the Bills meeting with Golden or Luther Burden?
No.
Or Egbuka from Ohio State or Jaden Higgins? Definitely not McMillan. I haven't seen anything with that. Like, the highest rated receiver that I think we've seen the Bills either visit with or meet with is Jalen Royals from Utah State. I think that's the highest rated guy. Him and Bond.
The Combine. I'm at the Combine. The Bills met with Golden at the Combine.
They met with Golden at the Combine? They met
with Golden at the Combine.
Okay. So then he would be the highest rated guy.
Yeah.
At least that they met with, not with a visit.
Yeah, there's Combine visits, and there's, of course, you know, different visits are for different reasons, right? Mm-hmm. One might be to, hey, quick question about what's your answer for why XYZ, off-field, on-field, anything like that. You know, they met with Isaiah Bond, who later on had an allegation of sexual assault. So, like, is that, hey, did they know about that? They want to ask about that? Do they want to ask a player, you know, what makes him tick? What do you eat for breakfast? I mean, there are different goals probably in each and every one of these interviews. Bond was at the Combine and a top 30 pre-draft visit.
Right.
Golden's right. Just the Combine.
I was really thinking about Bond being their guy because he fits so much of what they need in the skill set. And where he, you know, if you trust mock drafts, where he often goes kind of lines up with where they pick at the end of the second round.
Yeah, there's character stuff there.
But that's the thing now.
Well, one thing I wonder about, you know, Bob McGinn with Tyler Dunn had one scout refer to Bond as like a diva, boilerplate, everything like caricature of a receiver like that. And one thing I wonder is, if a guy like that goes in the second round, is he any different than if he goes in the fourth or the fifth? Because, you know, if you think you're the cat's pajamas and you go – sorry, if you don't know that phrase. It's, you know, if you think
I've heard it.
If you're the bee's knees, if you think you're the man.
Bee's knees has got to be as old as cat's pajamas.
Sure. Yeah. But what I'm going for is if you're a guy that gets kind of humbled by the draft process, shown that the way you've operated, this is not just specific to Bond, to anybody, the way you've carried yourself has cost you four rounds in the draft and could cost you your career. Can that guy get it together and get it back on track? I'm sure there are stories of that being true and that being the case.
Yeah,
some might have thought that was going to happen with Jermaine Burton in Cincinnati last year, and that's
because he won the third round.
He did. He's supposed to be a very, very good top talent, and couldn't get it together. Goes to Cincinnati, and I think in 1 year they're already like, this was a bad idea.
Yeah.
So anyway, 803-0550. Andy Cheektowaga is up. We're 9 days out from the draft. Andy, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
There's a guy out there that nobody has mentioned, and I'm telling you, go look at this guy's highlight film. You will be blown away how his name is Savion Williams from TCU. I think we should take him in the late second round. I would even take him in the early second round. He's an absolute athletic freak. He's a little bit older. I think he's been in college for 5 years. There's another guy out there that I really, really like who I think he's better than Jalen Royals. His name is Kyle Williams. I forget the school he goes to.
Washington State. Kyle Williams is Washington State.
Yeah. But check out Savion Williams. You would not be disappointed. He's 6'4". 225. He moves like absolute lightning speed. They hand him the ball at running back sometimes. He is graceful. His catches are unbelievable. His athletic ability is off the charts. Check him out. Trust me.
Yeah. Real quick, I've heard this player, Savion Williams, a little bit of what they say about him, or a lot of the scouts say about him, is, like you said, athlete. He's he's maybe more athlete than he is receiver.
Right. What I remember about him, and pulling this back up right now, yeah, he ran for 322 yards and 6 touchdowns last year to go with 600 yards receiving and 6 touchdowns.
Yep.
So 900 yards from scrimmage, only 611 was through the air. Which, doesn't that kind of sound a little like what they wanted out of Curtis Samuel? That's a very elementary, you know, comparison there, because I'm just going on, oh, he runs the ball. But, right, the difference would be, as the caller mentioned, he's listed at 6'5", 212. And he's fast. But His receiving numbers from 5 years, I mean, 5 years in college, he had 1,600 receiving yards, would tell you he is not. I don't have Matt Harmon in front of me. I don't have the PFF stuff in front of me. I can't imagine he's like a well-polished route runner, though.
No, Williams is a little bit of a project, but there's a lot of athleticism, explosiveness. To Kyle Williams, and Matt Harmon has not done a write-up on Savion Williams. He has done one on Kyle Williams.
Okay.
Washington State, probably a second-round guy. Mm-hmm. The thing that Kyle Williams doesn't have is he doesn't really have elite size. He's not big.
Mm-hmm.
But he says of Kyle Williams, ideal prospect to target early on the second day, multi-layered separation skills, explosive potential as a yak threat. Players with this type of reception perception profile scream useful for wide receiver rooms across the league. The ceiling is a more pressing question. He doesn't necessarily think he could be a true number one, which is again, like a common theme in this draft. You'll find guys that'll do what you want. Will you find guys that are, you know, perfect? No. He says, projects him as an eventual starter. Metrics as a separator mirror those of Jaden Reed, Elijah Moore type receivers.
I like that.
Right. Kyle Williams to me has seemed like a good idea since, you know, he came across my laptop screen. But Savion Williams is interesting. You're not the first to mention him.
Mm-hmm.
Utility player. Athletic profile is great. I mean, this is where I check his RAS score is like a 10 because the Bills love, you know, athletes.
Well, it all comes down to really what you want to in this receiver. Like, this is a guy that I would I don't know, maybe I'm wrong on this. He's a project, but the way he was used makes me think gadget guy, and you got to use him in certain ways, you got to scheme him open, kind of in the way you do with Shakir and Samuel a little bit. Whereas it's not like the guy I want to see them add. I don't know, is this really likely? The guy that they add is going to have the skill set that can grow into something more. That could grow into a guy that could be like a 100-target player in your offense. Not in year one.
Yeah.
But like to me, Bond is this a little bit? Burden. I think Burden is really the name for this for me. Of guy that, all right, year one, he comes in, he produces a little bit, but that there's a skill set there that could be this guy could turn into your number one or number two receiver if it goes perfectly. And there's some players like I think Williams maybe is this for me, or Ibuka or Higgins, where, you know, they'd be productive players in the league, but I just don't know how much upside there really is. Because I don't know. I don't think the Bills are going to actively or aggressively go get a star number one wide receiver. I think the most likely way that happens again is it happens organically.
Trey White's back. Start there.
I mean, we could Trey White Goalie Academy. We could find a way to morph the two together. Talked about goaltending yesterday.
Trey White's back.
Cool story. Nobody's in any disagreement, right? He does not change anything about the draft.
I agree with that. I don't think he does anything. Right. I don't think he does anything to think, well, now corner one can be in the second round. That's not different.
Right.
How many players right now could sign with NFL teams that would change their team's draft strategy? I'll start the list. One, Aaron Rodgers. Two, I have no idea who's left. I mean,
you could even debate Aaron Rodgers. The fact that, like, if Pittsburgh signed him, they should still draft a quarterback in the first round. But you're right.
But whoever it is, you want to go out there and sign Amari Cooper? You want to go out there and sign Asante Samuel Jr.? These players that are on the market are there for a reason, because these teams have identified their draft needs. I was looking at Trey White's contract last year. So he had a one-year deal with the Rams and then got traded to the Ravens. So it was 1 year, 4.2 guaranteed. And now this year it's 1 year, 6.8, up to 6.8. We don't have the numbers. His guaranteed money will be what? Three?
I was going to say less than that. I was going to say like 1.5.
Okay.
Really, really low.
And whatever. It's a great story. Glad he's back. Knows the system. If he's healthy, he's a depth piece for them. But I don't anticipate that they think he's their corner two for a second, really. And if he is, it'll be because whoever they draft for that spot doesn't beat him out. Right? Or doesn't beat out Dane Jackson. But no, I don't think Tre'Davious White coming back is any sort of indication that they feel comfortable. They could have made this signing 2 weeks from now.
after the draft, post-draft. That it happens now is, I don't know, is that noteworthy? Is that interesting?
Maybe. I mean, they were trying to act on it with bringing James Bradberry in for a visit as well.
That's right.
So that's two corners who both, by the way, have had major injuries in the last 2 years that they were looking at. They wanted one more guy before the draft. And isn't this kind of what Bean does and what Bean talks about is that you don't want to go into a draft completely desperate. I mean, I don't think it changes.
He says a lot of things we don't have to. They do that all the time. They did that last year.
Mm-hmm.
They did it the year they drafted Rousseau. They did it the year they drafted Elam. I mean,
right, because that's really the right point is, should anyone feel any more comfortable about corner two? Say they don't get anyone they like in the draft. They're like, it never falls their way and they don't end up doing it. Big stunner. Bills don't draft a corner until like round six. And they have Tre'Davious White on their team. Does that actually make anyone feel that much more comfortable than you would have 3 days ago when that name would have just been Dane Jackson?
Probably a little bit because there's an option there. A little bit. But even the concept, Joe, of you don't want to go to the draft having one glaring need. Well, there's a spin on that. Does that mean the rest of my team is pretty good? Because that's what it's not better to go with five holes. It's better to go in there with one. And if you have one glaring need, you can draft three guys at that position. So, you know, he says stuff like that. He says you don't want one glaring need. He's got one, probably. Then again, every other time corner two has been their biggest need, I've never felt like it's that big of a need. They've put together great passing defenses with a corner two that's just a rotational piece, that's just a guy.
Mm-hmm.
E.J. Gaines, Josh Norman, stop me wherever you go. Right? Like it was Trey White as their number one corner, and then they needed to trade for Douglas, who was probably it for 5 minutes before Benford just took over.
Yeah.
Right? Other than that, I mean, they've had a pretty solid top corner for a while, and they've had a pretty solid pass defense for just as long. Safety, to me, is where things got different last year. They went from having one of the best safety tandems in football to having two guys that were okay. They have their strengths. They have their weaknesses. So, rebuilding their secondary, maybe it comes from a safety standpoint. Maybe it comes from finally getting two really good corners. But Levi Wallace was corner two, and he was fine for a long time until the playoff game where they kind of got mad at him. But
yeah.
They've been just as good. There are a couple spots that they've never really had. Stud defensive tackle, one technique guy.
Mm-hmm.
Run stuffing defense. They've never had that. And it just doesn't matter.
Well, what's the thing? Do they want to have something that they've never had before? And if they do, what's the right answer to that question? What's the thing that, okay, you've never had it before. You want to get something you've never had. What's the right thing to choose from? Because you might not be able to pick all of them.
Right.
And like to me, the idea of having a second corner that you're not terrified of if you check into man coverage, you decide in a game, maybe we want to start playing a little bit more man. We want to line up one-on-one. Having a second corner that's got the ability to do that, that sounds more appealing to me than, well, I've never really had the elite run-stuffing defensive tackle. Whatever. The Bills for 6 years have said, yeah, we don't really care about the run game. Their actions at least have said that. I know their words haven't. So having a number two corner this is kind of in the same idea of giving them more options. We talked about third down defense the other day, right? And Michael Hoyt and getting different looks defensively. Well, one look you really haven't had that's different is the ability to line up two corners and not be terrified of one of them covering a guy in space. Because you never wanted Levi Wallace doing that.
Right.
You never wanted Dane Jackson doing that. And I'm not saying I don't think you'd want Tre'Davious White doing that at this age and this injury history. But if they were to land a rookie that is able to produce right away, it would be like the first time they've ever had two corners that maybe you're not afraid of covering two receivers.
As you complete that sentence, do you want to know where Tre'Davious White was graded by PFF last year?
Last year. Just all grading? Like all coverage, I mean?
Yes. Defensive grade, overall ranking corners.
I would bet he was pretty low.
It's not even about the number here. It's just a little bit of irony. He was right behind Rasul Douglas.
Mm.
So the idea about being confident, you've got two guys. When's the last time you could be this guy?
I don't know if they had it last year, though, right? Like, would you say they did?
But Trey White was Rasul Douglas last year is what I'm saying.
Right.
So yeah. if you're someone out there that thought Trey White will come in and that answers their question, they don't need a corner. They've always going to have been drafted. It's almost like they re-signed Rasul Douglas, which they did not do, by the way.
I'm sure that's dead now.
Yes, I think that's probably dead too. Thank you for your service. He had a good run, you know, good acquisition, made a couple big plays for them. But yeah, they move on from that. I mean, that's got to be done. Benford pounded the table for that when he signed his extension, saying he wants Douglas to come back.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. PFF grades, you don't have to take them. You can take them or you can leave them. You can do what you want with them. But Trey White was ranked 104th among cornerbacks in the NFL last year. And it's right by, it's Rasul Douglas's territory. So I don't think Douglas was terrible. He was fine, but
he was fine except in the Ram game where they got torched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, the Bills kind of had that happen a lot last year where face a really good offense and things got away from you, a really good passing offense. The teams that I think about that had great success against the Bills are the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Rams, the Lions. And I would list all those as teams that have potentially elite to, well, the Chiefs don't, but the Chiefs always do it to the Bills. But the others have really good passing games, right? The Rams do. The Rams were healthy, and Puka and Kupp kind of ripped them up. And the Ravens had a great passing game and beat the Bills pretty well in that playoff game, even though they lost. So anyway, I don't dislike it. I'm happy with the Trey White addition. Up to $6.8 million. We want to see how much work Up to is doing. But if you want to say it raises their floor, I think that's a great way to say it. We'll talk about it with Sal coming up at 7 o'clock. But the focus will still likely be defense with the first-round pick. Probably with, I mean, if they were to draft all 10 players, what's the over under on defensive picks? 7.5?
Yeah, is that high?
Maybe we could play.
So that's a high number.
Maybe we could play a game because we don't know how many picks they'll ultimately end with.
Yeah.
But should we say 74.5% of their capital will be spent on defense? Wouldn't you bet 3 defensive picks to every 1 offensive pick?
Yes, that still seems like a lot. I know their holes are on defense. 3 for every 1. The problem is just finding where they will pick an offensive player, right? They will pick
a wide receiver somewhere, and after that,
they will probably pick an offensive lineman just because you throw one of those in every draft, yeah, right?
I think that'll be an interior guy.
Do you think they'll draft a running back anywhere?
I don't.
Anywhere.
I don't.
7th round.
I mean, if they want to cut
actually, they don't have a 7th round pick, right? 6th round.
That's right.
Okay. Tight end.
Maybe.
3rd string tight end.
Could be tight end because Quentin Morris is, he's not signed yet, and Zach Davidson, whatever. So tight end, sure.
And then I'm at quarterback.
Which?
Backup quarterback.
That's always, to me, been a good idea, but they like to get guys that are not waiting in the wings. What they want is someone that's going to help Josh be the best Josh can be. And I don't think a rookie does that.
And they have Trubisky and Mike White coming back already. So what did I just count? 2?
Possible. Yeah.
I mean, they could draft 2 receivers. 2 day 3 receivers, right?
Yes, they could.
Well, that's going to be tough to make numbers work on like who makes the team, but whatever. That's tough. I mean, the way I just laid that out, I think maybe I would want to take the over 2. Because I could draft corners, I could draft linebacker.
I got
5th round pick, maybe this guy in the future.
I don't have a position on the defense that I have to stay away from.
Like in totality.
No, in the defensive line, both spots. Linebacker, I've been making the case for that for a while. It's not at the top of the list, but it's on the list. Safety, corner.
Are they gonna draft a punter?
Are they gonna draft a kicker?
That's gonna screw up our bet. What if they draft a punter and nothing hits?
All right, here we go. Punter counts as defense. Kicker counts as offense. Fair?
Well, now it's even more advantage defense because they don't have a punter and they do have a kicker.
Well, they do have
a punter, but I forget who it is. It's not Sam Martin. They released him.
803-0550, your phone number. We'll get some calls in on this. How do you like the Trey White signing? He's back, and do you think it affects their plans? I don't know. Maybe it's a little less desperate, but it's not the kind of thing where they're on the board and they're going to be looking and saying, here's a corner, but well, we got Trey White, so we're not as bad because
they're still lacking in that position. And I mean, is Trey White much different than who's the defensive tackle that is the same level of player as him? Is it Jordan Phillips? Is it?
See, that's the thing. It's like he now, yes, right? It's different. It almost like that sounded disrespectful to me, but it really isn't. Because Jordan Phillips was always like a pretty good player when he was at his best.
I mean now.
Now. Because Trey White was an all-pro corner. But no one's believing that he's going to come near that, right? Well, he was pretty good in the first four games that he played the last time he was in Buffalo, right? Like that game that they blow out Miami here early in the season, right after the Dolphins had scored 70. The Bills do pretty well against Miami after those first couple of drives. Trey White is covering Tyreek Hill that day. And Tyreek Hill, notoriously, doesn't really go off against the Bills. So they had their plan. Trey White was playing well that season. You want to look at coverage grades. That was the second best. He was having his second best season coverage-wise going into it was only, again, very limited sample, though. So it was going well, but then he tore his Achilles, and then he plays last year, and like you mentioned, okay, he's Rasul Douglas. He was okay, but the Rams didn't value him enough to keep him for the playoffs. So what do I have left here? What's my upside? Is there any thought that he tore his Achilles 2 years ago, he gets a year back under his feet, more comfortable, and okay, he's going to return, get closer to form? Because I'm not really thinking that way, but I guess you could try to make that argument if you really wanted to. The biggest Trey White fan could probably make that argument.
Let's get a call in here. Eric in Lockport joins us to open up. Eric, good morning.
Good morning, boys. How's it going?
Not bad. Happy Friday.
Yes, finally, at long last. Just wanted to run through a couple quick things about the draft. So now the defense, I think it's already kind of overinvested in given how, you know, defensive-minded the head coach is. I mean, the defensive line has two first-round picks on it. The sec they put, if they draft corner this year, it'll be three times they've done corner. They did one at linebacker. And on the offensive side, Josh has one first-round player on the whole unit that they've ever done. In the Chief losses in the playoffs, you know, the Chiefs have gotten to 38, 42, 27, and 32. I think if the Bills spent all 10 picks on defense, I don't think it makes it any, even if they got two Pro Bowlers out of it, I don't think it's make it any more likely that they stop Mahomes and Andy Reid. I don't know that there's a player in this draft that makes the impact for Josh. You know, I'm certainly, you know, I'm not a scout. But I think going forward, I just would like to see more of an investment on getting that guy some help because I think he is the best. I will hang up and listen.
Thanks, Eric. That is the way you put that is a great way to put it because it's tough to ask that, but that is a question that lingers out there. How good, how talented does a McDermott defense need to have answers against the Chiefs? Because one thing about this year's Chiefs is that was a team that could be defended, and this team struggled to do it. Yeah. Everybody else defended them. The Texans held them in check in that playoff game.
The Eagles,
of course,
them.
Destroyed them. Other teams held that offense in check, and in the playoff game, this team got worked. Maybe that's because Benford got hurt and Elam had to go in. Well, there's always a reason, right? But, I mean, I think Sean McDermott is a good coach and a good defensive mind, but these matchups in the playoffs, there's always a roster element to it. Oh, we don't have any linebackers. Oh, Benford's out. But, man, the Chiefs always have the answers. And, again, like the way that Eric said there, how many great players on defense do you need to get by them? Because the conversation about the defense, Joe, is kind of like the conversation about the offense. Statistically, they draft three guys in this draft, and they become the number one NFL defense. Wow. Job well done. But do you beat the Chiefs?
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.